sure. And then we'll, Lord willing, get into Matthew 25, and we'll go through this account of the 10 virgins, all right? We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. What a wonderful thing that you've done, Lord, how you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We're grateful for that. We're grateful that he rose again, Lord, and we're so grateful for that. And Father, we pray now that you would just be with the lessons that are taught this morning and be with the preaching that is taught this morning. And Father, we pray that you would just allow us, Lord, to open our hearts. We know that you want us to open our hearts and our eyes and our ears, and we pray that we would do that and hear your words with readiness of mind. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, last week we tried to finish up Matthew chapter 24, but we were unsuccessful. And that's my fault. I didn't speak fast enough, but we'll definitely finish it this week, and then we'll start the next chapter. But last week, folks, we were going through the idea that everyone on the face of this earth is a servant. God has put us here, and we're a servant. And no matter what age you're in, you're a servant. Now, we're speaking about this time frame of the tribulation, that period of time where people are going to go through when God deals with Israel, and everybody's getting God's, I would say, his punishment, his chastisement for rejecting him, rejecting his Son, for killing his Son on the cross. And that punishment is designed, folks, to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's designed for that purpose. That's one more chance. That's the Lord being merciful one more time. Because after this, folks, the mercies seems like it's almost over for a lot of people that are on this earth. It's going to be over, and we're going to see that in chapter 25. But in this day, and in the tribulation, and that's what we're speaking about, there's two different classifications of servants of God on this earth, okay? We're all servants of God here. But in the tribulation, there's two classifications. There's a faithful and wise servant. Matthew 24, verse 45. The Bible says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" And we went through a little bit how Jesus Christ, he humbled himself, he became a servant. Last week we talked about that. And he became a man, folks. And that's what we're talking about, men being servants here. And he did that so that everybody could be benefited. And servants are supposed to be in such a way where people, they're helping people. They're helping their neighbors. Jesus summed up the whole law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And so this idea of servitude to others is been there, folks. It's in the Bible. It's in every age. And it's in the tribulation age. But there's two classifications. One is a faithful and wise servant, and that's the servant, folks, that obey or that knows God and that obeys the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ found in 2 Thessalonians. Okay? And then there's another servant here, and that servant is an evil servant, verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." Here's a guy that's not believing the preaching that's being preached during that age, okay? And hey, we've got that here today. People are saying, "Well, the Lord's not coming back," or "The Lord already came back." And if so, we're in a world of trouble, right? Because if the Lord came back and we're going through the things we're going through here today, we're definitely in deep trouble. But during the tribulation, a wise and faithful servant is somebody who knows God, who has obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they do those two things, right, they see their neighbor in distress, they're going to help them. They're going to feed them. They're going to clothe them. They're going to visit them in jail. They're going to do all these things. But you can't do any of that. You can't help your fellow man unless you're obeying the Lord. Unless you're loving the Lord, how are you going to be able to help somebody else in the tribulation? How is somebody going to do that without loving the Lord? They're going to be worried about themselves. Because times are going to be very, very tough then. The other classification of servants are of those that are evil. They're the ones that they could have believed the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return, but they didn't. So it says right there, they said, "My Lord delayeth His coming." Lord's not coming back in my lifetime. All right? Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Now, those that know God and obey the gospel in the tribulation will be the wise servant that gets to come into the millennium and be ruler over the Lord's goods. They get to inherit the kingdom of heaven, folks. We saw that. Here you have two people in the field. One's taken, the other's left. Okay? The ones that are left there get to go in to the millennium. The ones that are taken, they're taken in death. Now, there are two classifications of wise and faithful servants. And you put these things together as you're studying the Bible. You go into Revelation, you're going to see that there's a different classification of these servants. Okay? There's servants that died before the Lord's return, and there's servants that are alive when Jesus returns. There's two classifications, dead and alive. Okay? Those that are alive when the Lord returns are those that endured to the end. They made it to the end. Those that died are the ones that they didn't endure to the end, folks. They didn't make it till when the Lord came back. There are those that say out there that only those that endure to the end are saved and get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But is that a true statement? I don't think that it is. And we're going to see here in a couple minutes. Right. The Bible makes it seem like it's enduring to the end of the tribulation. And we'll see that here in a couple seconds. I'll show you the verse. The Bible says, look if you would in Matthew chapter 24, 13. The Bible says, but he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. All right? The same shall be saved. Now, there's some criteria for enduring to the end. And we've gone through it. They have to know God. And they have to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians. That's the two criteria, or they're destroyed. They're destroyed. Okay? Who are these saying? What are the saying? Well, the same shall be saved. The same as what? The same as those who died in faith. Those who lived and we're alive in faith when Jesus comes back, they're saved just as those that died in faith are saved. Okay? And go with me, if you would, Revelation 6:11. I know this is a little bit new for some in here, but because, I mean, we've gone through a lot of this already, and it may be difficult, but let's see what the Bible says. There's people that die that are saved. There's people that live that are saved when Jesus comes back. Okay? Revelation 6:11. The Bible says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season," watch this, "until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." Now look at what happens to these people in the millennium. What do they get in the millennium? Revelation 24. There's people that die, they didn't endure to the end. Revelation 20, verse 4. And we've gone through, there's people that are going to endure to the end, be alive when Jesus comes back, and they don't get to enter. Why? Because they didn't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know God. Revelation 24, the Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What does Jesus Christ give to those servants, those two different classifications of servants that we were just talking about? Ones that lived, ones that died. The ones that died in the tribulation get to live and reign with Jesus Christ. You know what reigning is? That's rulership. That's having rulership, folks. They get to live and reign with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. Okay? Rulership over all his goods. Hey, folks, that's the Bible. I mean, the scriptures are there. They're there for us to read. They're there for us to study. They're masterfully put together. And yet they're in different places. And we as students of the Bible, we have to go in and try to put these things together and make them fit. We don't have to make them fit. They already fit. But we need to see how they fit and understand how they fit. Verse 48 of Matthew chapter 24. You can't take... I keep going to that game. I saw the little kids play when they were little. You got the little triangles, you got the little circles, you got the little rectangles, you got the little squares. And you can't put a round ball in a triangle, folks. It just doesn't fit. And so if something doesn't fit in the Bible, we're wrong. The Bible's right. We have to see where the Bible lines up with the Bible. And certain times line up with certain times and all these things. And there's a lot to do there. There's a lot to do. And that's why those that do that are called workmen. And those that do that correctly won't be ashamed. And they won't be teaching something that just isn't so. And they won't deceive people that want to be deceived. I don't want to deceive anybody, folks. I don't want to be used of God to deceive anybody. All right? And I keep pointing, God is right, and we need to rely on him for our truth. Where God's truth doesn't match man's truth, we stay with God's truth. All right? No matter who the man is, it doesn't matter. We got to keep ourselves out of this equation here. And God wants us to learn from him, and we need to do so. Verse 48, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. And as I said before, all men are servants. And by reading verse 48, you find out there's different classifications of servants. There's the faithful and wise servants. There's the evil servants. And you're going to see what happens to evil servants in verse 51. But there's the two classification. The wicked servant chooses not to know God. Romans 1. They knew him at one time. But they choose not to know him. And God ends up, he chooses not to know them when they want to be known of God. And let me tell you, folks, everybody's going to want to be known of God when he comes back. Everybody is. Because everybody will be a believer at that point. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. Everybody will be a believer. And so God chooses not to, he chooses not to know that individual when an individual chooses not to know God. Not to give thanks to God for his creation, for the things that he's done. And he chooses to worship the creation instead. And we saw, hey, God's going to get rid of the sun and the moon and the stars. He's going to make it to where they don't shine. And men aren't going to have anything really to hope at. But the wicked servant, he trusts in his own self. He doesn't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to trust in his own works and not the works of Jesus Christ. And folks, I can't keep saying this enough. If man could obey all the laws of God, it's a legitimate offer. He gets to say, it's my righteousness. Show me which one that did that. There's only one that I know of. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one. Guilty of, you mess up one point in the law, you're guilty of it all. And Jesus Christ didn't mess up anything. Okay? But the righteous, or the faithful and wise servant, he trusts in Jesus Christ's righteousness, folks. That's what it's going to come down to in the tribulation. Those that are true, faithful servants and wise servants, they're going to help those that are in need of help. They're going to do that. And they're not going to usurp lordship over those that need help for their own personal self-gain, which is what the wicked servant's going to do. He's going to sell out his brother for a morsel of meat. He's gonna turn in his fellow servant. He's gonna turn him in so that he can have some money or buy and sell or whatever. But that's this evil servant. Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Look at that, he's smiting him. And to eat and to drink with the drunken. Gonna have to give him up. Gonna have to beat him. He's going to have to side with the Antichrist. And when you do that, you're not going to take care of your brother. You're not going to take care of your fellow servant. And you're considered an evil servant. Why? Because you didn't believe the Word of God. You didn't listen to the preaching when it was there. You didn't listen. Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and to drink with the drunken. Again, in Luke 12:45, look there if you would. We find the same account. Luke 12:45. There's the same account. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants. And Luke throws in the maidens. So everyone is a servant, folks. When I say men, women are included there. Women are included there. What's at the end of woman? Right? If you kind of break it up, woman, right? Man's in there. She came from the man. Okay? But nobody, folks, has the right to inflict affliction and hardship on his fellow servant. That wasn't God's intent. I'm sorry, it wasn't. The Gentiles started it, and God warned Israel about the king. He wanted to be their king, and God warned them, and they wanted one anyway, and guess what happened? Here comes the affliction, here comes the hardship, and here comes all the taxes and all the things that come with the Gentiles' way of thinking, okay? The wicked servant is going to treat his fellow servant badly. And just like in Noah's day, when they were eating and drinking, and not being occupied with the things of this earth. Why? Because he didn't trust the Lord. He didn't trust the Lord. He didn't believe the word of God about his condition, and he didn't believe the word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. And he says, well, my Lord delayeth. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. And he's going to get what all unbelievers get. Look, if you would, in Luke 46, 12:46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Look at that. Unbelievers. He gets what the unbelievers get. Why? Because he's an unbeliever. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, Verse 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the evil servant will be taken away in death. That's found in Matthew. He'll be taken away in death in an hour when he's not aware, and he gets what the unbelievers get. Now notice that those that knew and did not, they get more than those that didn't know. But folks, hell is hell. Hell is hell. And punishment is punishment. And in the end, gnashing of teeth is gnashing of teeth. And in the end, weeping and wailing is weeping and wailing. And you don't want to be in hell with the most punishment, and you don't want to be in hell with the least punishment. We know there's levels of hell, and that lines up with levels of hell. And I know if you're with Jesus, you're not getting any punishment because he took it all. All right? And so you don't want to be in hell with the little bit, and you don't want to be in hell with the lot. Okay? You want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't want to be in that classification of the wicked servant when Jesus comes again. Matthew chapter 25. Because this is what happens. Verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder, as we just read, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? Chapter 25. Now, bear with me on this one, okay? Because we haven't probably been taught this here, and I'm just going to put it out there. I'm going to show you what the Lord showed me. You just bear with me and believe what the Lord wants you to believe, okay? Chapter 25, verses 1, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 13. The Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. We all know who the bridegroom is, right? I don't have to go through any of the verses on that. Okay. And 5 of them were wise. And 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all did. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Notice, they all had oil in their lamps. They all did. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They're gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That sounds familiar, folks. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 25 where there's some people that the Lord's not going to know. And there's other places where he says that too. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, there are some things that we need to notice here in these verses, and that is that each of these virgins, they had lamps, and each of the virgins had oil in their lamps. And we find that in verse 7 and 8. Okay? The oil in the lamps produce light when they're lit. That's what burns on the wick. I don't know if any of you know how an oil lamp works, but the oil is drawn up on the wick, and then you light, and the oil burns, and the wick burns slightly, but it's, you know, it doesn't burn a lot. But without that oil, that wick just smolders. Doesn't really give any light. But the oil, okay, so the oil in the lamps produce the light, and the light of the lamp is required to go into the door of the marriage, okay, with the bridegroom. That we know. We can figure that out. Now, we have to really understand what time frame we're talking about here. We're talking in Matthew chapter 25. It's when Jesus returns at his second coming. After the tribulation, there's going to be people that are ready to go into the millennium, and there's going to be people that are not ready to go into the millennium, okay? Every man, folks, when he comes into this world, has some truth from God. Okay? Every man does. And it's enough truth for the Lord Jesus Christ to light it. The Bible says in John 1:9. We all know the verse. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I'm going to suggest here today that every man that comes into the world has oil in his lamp. Everyone does. He's got some oil in his lamp. And I'm not going to be the one that tells you that the oil is the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to tell you that. All right? What I'm going to tell you here is there's some that think that way, but I'm not here to debate that. Okay, I'm just going to show you what the Bible says, and you take it for what the Bible says, and pray about it and ask the Lord to help you with that. But I'm going to give you what the Bible says here. John 6:63. The Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Now, it doesn't capitalize the word spirit there. But the Bible says that Jesus' words are spirit, and they are life, folks. Okay? And now, there are other words in the Bible that lead somebody to Christ. Jesus' words are life, they're spirit. But there are other words in the Bible that will lead somebody to Christ. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians 3:5. And we're going to try to put it all together here. We've got a little bit of time. Galatians 3:5. Verse 4, we'll start there. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay? Even Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, I'm not looking for that one. Yeah. I'm looking for the one that says that the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. But I can't find it. Is it 2:15? What's that? 2:24? 3:24. Yeah, okay. I started too early. But before faith came, verse 23, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Okay? There are words in the Bible that will lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're the words of the law, folks. They're the words of the law. There's enough word of God in every man for man to know that he needs to look for somebody else to save him. Okay? There's enough words in man. Romans 2:13. Romans 2:13. I didn't want to read all those verses. I don't know why I put Galatians 3:5 down. I don't know why I did that. But Romans 2:13, the Bible says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Okay? "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness." Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Okay? Every man's got the law written in their hearts, folks. Every man does. And the fact of the matter is this, that every man, even the men in the tribulation, have the law written in their heart. We all do. And Jesus, he's able to light every man because of this. He's able to show them, hey, you're not good enough. Right? At some point, every man realizes that, or else nobody in the Old Testament would be given lambs for sacrifices. He lights every man of this. There's some oil in every man, folks. Every man's got oil in their lamp. And the Lord lights that oil. But most of the people, they shrug this fact off, this law, when their conscience bears witness to this thing. They shrug it off. And they go through life and go about life with the oil they started off with, which is the law. Written in their hearts. And that God gives to every man that comes into this world. But it's not enough oil, folks. It's not enough oil to get you into the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not enough oil to get the tribulation, the person in the tribulation into the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not enough. You say, well, how does a man purchase the extra oil he needs? How does he purchase the extra oil he needs to get into the marriage? I'm going to give you an example of that, okay? Of how to purchase the oil that you need, that a person in a tribulation needs, okay? Folks, you have to give something to receive something. You do. Even the gift of the gospel, you have to give something. I know it's a free gift. Jesus is a free gift. Heaven's a free gift. But you have to give something to receive something. Okay? And if you're not willing to give something, you're not going to receive something. And you say, well, what do I have to give? Hey, when that preacher in the tribulation, I don't know how many of you have been street preaching. I've been. You know how many people walk by, don't give you an ounce of time? They're not giving Jesus an ounce of time. Not 1 minute. Not even to hear the gospel. They walk right by. You have to give something to receive something. If you don't give enough time to the Lord Jesus Christ to hear his word preached, how are you ever going to receive it? It's got to be purchased with time, folks. If you don't ever give the Lord enough time to hear his message, how are you going to receive the message? Can't be received unless you give. You have to give something to receive something. And so, during the tribulation, there's going to be a lot of people preaching, folks. And there's going to be a lot of people turning the deaf ear. And they're going to be walking right by and not giving any time to the preacher to hear the Word of God. And if you don't hear the preaching of the Word of God, you can't be saved. Got to hear it. Got to hear it, folks. That's in Romans. Those that will stop and will hear that preaching, they'll purchase to themselves oil. Folks, look at what happens with this oil. Look at where these people have the oil. They have it in vessels. They have it in the vessels. But the wise took oil, verse 4, in their vessels with their lamps. They took oil. They took oil. And so the oil you start off with, folks, is not enough to get through the door, the marriage door. The oil that tribulation starts off with is not enough to get him through that marriage door, folks. The story of the 10 virgins here, here we see everyone, folks, in this story. You see it in the story. Everyone will believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even the unsaved that don't get to enter into the millennium. Look at what they say. And while they went to buy, hey, they knew the bridegroom was coming, but there's a point, folks. It's too late. It's too late. And it's going to be too late when the Lord Jesus Christ steps foot on this earth. You're not going to have time to buy. Even though you're going to. They're going to want to believe. They're not going to make it. The Bible says that everyone will eventually bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we see by the story of the 10 virgins that you have to own your own oil, folks. You have to own your own oil. You can't own somebody else's oil. Not even in the tribulation. You can't own mommy and daddy's faith. Mommy and daddy's faith. Mommy and daddy can't give you any faith of your own. You have to own it. And the only way you can own it is to purchase it. And the only way to purchase it is to hear the preaching of the word. You don't own faith here till you receive it. You have to purchase it here, folks, in this time. Nobody gets into the marriage by mommy's faith. Nobody gets into the marriage by daddy's faith. It's by your faith that you get into the marriage. And you don't own that faith, which is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't own that faith until you receive it. Same in the tribulation, folks. They don't own it. And so what I suggest to you this morning is that the oil in these lamps, in these verses, is a picture of the Word of God that every man starts off with. The oil in the lamps, picture of the Word of God that every man starts off with, which is the Word of God referencing the law written in their hearts. And the oil in the vessels that the wise virgins had were purchased by those virgins with their time by hearing the preaching of the Word of God and receiving the preaching of the Word of God, as it were the Word of God. And that's everybody. That's those in the tribulation time period. The oil has to be purchased with time. Same with today. No salvation unless you give heed to the Word of God. You can't be saved unless you hear the preaching of the Word of God. Whether it's by a man or a tape or something. Somebody's got to teach, tell it to you. Somebody's got to preach it to you. And if a person waits too long, he will never get into the marriage. Why? Because once the Lord returns, the door is shut, and it doesn't matter if you believe it then. We know everybody's going to be a believer then. Everybody is. We know that, folks. What matters is when a person believes before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Because once he returns, it's too late. It's too late. And he's going to return after the tribulation. So I really hope and pray that none of you are going to go through that tribulation. I know I'm not. And I'm thankful for that. God offers an escape today from that tribulation. But he also offers an escape in the tribulation. And I hope none of you have to go through that. And if you do, be ready before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. All right? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your words. And we thank you for this account with the 10 virgins. Maybe it's wrong the way it was taught here this morning. But if it's not wrong, Lord, and we pray that we would just take heed to it. And we pray that we would seek your guidance and get truth from you and not from any man. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.